for people living with HIV, but we're still a bit ways away from getting there.
Thanks for listening to Noise Filter, your public health podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to the Noise Filter podcast, follow us on social media, and leave us a review letting us know your favorite part of the show.
You can find me, Hope Hickerson, at hopehickerson.com.
And you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at The Dr. Derry. That's D-R-D-E-R-Y.
To see and share our amazing animations and find out more information about us, the show, as well as links to our social media, go to noisefiltershow.com.
We are grateful to our sponsors, including Access Health Louisiana and the End the Epidemic Initiative, who are working to bring equitable health outcomes to everyone they serve. Hope, any last words?
Stay well out there, folks, and continue taking steps to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy. That includes exercise, a good diet, getting adequate sleep, and seeing your healthcare providers regularly.
And protect yourself and others by getting the COVID-19 vaccine and booster, wearing a mask, and social distancing wherever possible. Remember, health is a human right.
KBOO Portland.
To you, the 9-to-5er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Labor Radio. Of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. I'm Laura Wadlin, here with my co-host, Jamie Partridge. Hi, Jamie.
Hey, Laura.
Our topic is Providence Nurses Fighting Back. Our guests this evening, Richard Botterill and Kim Martin of ONA, the Oregon Nurses Association at Providence Hospital in Portland. ONA represents 4,000 nurses at 7 Providence hospitals and clinics in Oregon. Richard is an emergency room nurse and chair of the ONA bargaining team. Kim is a medical surgical nurse and vice chair of the bargaining team at Portland Providence Medical Center. Thank you both for joining us.
Welcome. Good to be here.
Let's start with the headlines. ONA recently staged an informational picket of close to 800 nurses and allies out in front of the Providence St. Vincent Hospital in Southwest Portland. Jamie and I were there, and the crowd was fired up. What brought you all to this point?
Well, first of all, I'm glad you were there. I thought it was a great crowd. I think we had over 800 people out there from a variety of different areas, not just the hospitals. Not just nurses. I think what really triggered a lot of that, you know, St. V's is at the table right now. Their contract expired the end of last year. And they've been asking and working with management to try and get some of the things that we've been asking for well over 2 years now. Pre-COVID, these are some of the things we were talking about. And it ranges from decent healthcare. Through COVID, it's also included things like retention bonuses. It's included things like COVID time off. If one of the nurses or anyone actually in the hospital was to contract COVID, that they would have paid time off that was outside of them having to take their vacation time. So there's a lot of other aspects to this that Providence really hasn't been too responsive with right now at St. V's. We used to be one of the top salaried, if you like, or paying hospitals in the state, in the Oregon region. It was a reasonable hourly wage. We had some of the best healthcare. That was a while back. Today, we're in a position where we are at the bottom of the pile. We have the worst or the lowest hourly wages. We probably have one of the most expensive healthcare packages. And I think that the folks at St. V's at the table have been talking to management there about trying to improve all of those things, and the response really hasn't been that positive. So that was a major, I think, trigger that caused the picket that we had. And it, you know, we also have right now Willamette Falls are at the table. Hood River, I believe, are at the table. And I think Milwaukee is also at the table in terms of contract renegotiations. And seven of the hospitals in the Oregon region are all going to be renegotiating their contract this year.
I think what it comes down to is Providence nurses used to feel like they were part of the mission and they were valued employees, and they're not feeling valued, respected, or cared about. Early in the pandemic, we had, although the ED was provided N95s, people on my floor, medical floors, had to fight for access and test fitting to wear N95s. And that led to several outbreaks of COVID in the hospital. You know, they're the only major employer in this market that didn't give their frontline nurses, frontline caregivers, a hazard or retention bonus. And because of that, and the lower wages and the lack of support, lots of our nurses have left and gone other places, and that's left us short staffed. So our nurses are, you know, we're disappointed. We're tired of working short. We're tired of working, being told that we have to prove that we got COVID at work when it's unprovable, instead of it being assumed that we got COVID at work when we're working with COVID patients. It's some of the stances that management taken have just been very disheartening, and the nurses are angry. They're on the street now.
You're picking up on what Kim was saying about short staffing. In the news recently, the administration have been saying, no, we're not short staffed, we're fine. And I guess my question for that is, if that's the case, why do I get 2 to 3 texts every day asking me to come in and work because we're short staffed in the emergency room? And that's just one area. So
we all get texts.
Yeah.
Well, the nursing shortage has increased drastically since COVID, with nurses out sick and quarantining and quitting due to the stress. I heard that over half of nurses are considering leaving the profession.
Yeah, Jamie, I think right now, I think the numbers that have actually left are close to a third.
Wow.
So, at least
from our system to other systems,
yeah,
who knows
yeah.
how many of those have just left the profession, but a lot of people have just left for better working conditions.
And we knew that there was a nursing shortage coming a long time ago. I mean, this is something that I think was projected 4 years ago, 5 years ago, people were talking about the nursing shortage. A lot of people are retiring. I think that's been exacerbated by the conditions that we've been working under for the last 2.5 years. And as Kim was saying, a lot of nurses have gone to other systems. They've gone to the legacy health system or OHSU or Kaiser. They've left us to go elsewhere. Some of that is for the sign-on bonuses they're getting. Others I know have gone on to travel nursing or contract nursing. So yeah, we've lost a lot of nurses, and it's not just nurses. I mean, we've lost security officers, we've lost patient transport, we've lost housekeepers. There's a lot of people that have left. So we're short-staffed across the board.
The problem is that Providence has tried to do lean staffing. I don't know if you're familiar with Six Sigma, but I was having lunch with a friend who's high up in an Oregon company that is across the country and multi-million. Who's a Six Sigma black belt. And I was saying, you know, the problem is we're not making cars. When you cut us to the bone and then you have a pandemic, everybody's kind of in a world of hurt. And that kind of boggled that person's mind why we would apply that strategy to healthcare.
Providence and other healthcare companies are dealing with the nursing shortage by bringing in travelers or temporary agency nurses. How much do they pay these travelers, and how does this system impact patient care?
Well, I know in the emergency room, we have some travelers who have been paid between $5,000 and $6,000 a week for their care. And they're working alongside nurses who are not being paid anywhere close to that. And yeah, nurses get a little upset when they see that. I'm not knocking the travelers. I mean, thank heavens we have them there. Otherwise, we would be in a bigger world of hurt. But they're coming in and they're earning a lot of money. The other side of it is that sometimes we've had travelers coming in, not so much in the ER, but I know some other areas where they maybe haven't had the same quality that we have in our existing nursing staff.
They have temporary licenses to work in our state. Yeah, it really is not safe, because a safe environment is when you have stable staff that know each other, that know each other's work. Everybody knows the same policies, the same procedures, and you get to work like a well-oiled machine. And when you get people that don't know each other, that don't know all the policies that come, then there's going to be breakdown and there's going to be errors, and that it's just not good. So the sad thing is if the Providence had invested what they're paying all these people in retiring bonuses, because they're trying to get people back, and in these traveling nurses, if they'd invested that in their loyal staff, they wouldn't have had the exodus that they've had. They wouldn't be scrambling now. It's just very short-sighted strategy. And unfortunately, they're not willing to abandon that short-sighted strategy. They're not willing to trust and invest in, you know, their loyal employees.
Well, and the situation incentivizes people quitting and becoming travel nurses, because then at least you have a break, right? You can be a travel nurse for a while and then stop and then come back. And oh my goodness. So what is the connection then between compensation, wages, benefits, and the understaffing?
Well, I think a lot of people have left, James, because of the conditions, because they're seeing other opportunities to make. I mean, think about earning that amount of money a week. You can make a lot of money in a year if you're working as a travel nurse for that kind of money. So a lot of people have left to go to, as I said, to other healthcare systems where they are being treated in a better way. There's certainly the pay is a lot better in a lot of the other healthcare systems. So, and the benefits for that matter. So it's a combination of different things. What the sad thing is, and I think Kim kind of touched on that, is that a lot of the nurses we're losing are long-term experienced nurses. Nurses that have been in the nursing profession for a long time. They know the way around. They know the kind of patients that we have, the kind of patients that we see come in every day. They're the ones that are leaving. And so that means we're bringing in travelers that don't know our community, don't know our patients. And we're bringing in a lot of young, newer nurses, new grads. And again, thank heavens we are bringing those folks in, because they're coming in and they're full of energy and they're committed. But it also means that now we have an additional burden on the nurses that have remained loyal to the company, because now we're precepting them. And that does take a lot of energy, especially so right now, because a lot of the newer nurses coming in because of COVID have not had the benefit of doing extensive clinical experience in different hospitals, because the hospitals haven't been doing it. So they're coming in not just new as nurses, but they're coming in also without having any kind of clinical experience in terms of, you know, live drug medication, tasks that are just normal. They haven't had that experience. That's a detriment. That's a safety issue. I've even had doctors in the ER talk about feeling of unsafe because we have so many new, and as I said, ambitious, great nurses, but they're inexperienced, because we've lost the experienced nurses, the ones that would be the great preceptors in the first place for these new nurses coming in.
In short, if you swap out your 10-year experienced ICU nurse for a new grad, you're not going to have the same level of care.
Got it. So I understand that each Providence hospital and clinic has a different union contract, but their expiration dates are lined up to happen sometime soon, and you all could potentially go on strike together. Tell us about that.
There are 10 business units that have contracts with ONA in the state. 8 of those are hospitals. One is home health, and another is the phone response. So yeah, this year there's 7 contracts that are all up for renegotiation, or the end of last year through the end of this year. St. V's, started us off as their contract expired the end of last year. Providence Portland will be finishing off because our contract expires at the end of this year. So theoretically, yeah, we could all be out on strike if it came to that. I'm hoping that we don't come to that. I'm hoping that we can come to an agreement with the administration that is rational and fair to the nurses. I mean, that's why we're here. That's why we were picketing. That's why we're in contract negotiation right now, is to try and arrive at something that we've been asking for, quite frankly, for well over 2 years without any rational or reasonable response, I think.
So there's a possibility of a strike that could involve multiple hospitals, put quite a bit of pressure on the company as opposed to just one hospital. Can you talk about that?
You know, nurses want to care for patients, mm-hmm. and we want to be there. We want to care for the patients in our community. But there comes a point where we're asked to work in conditions that aren't fair to us. And then we know that that doesn't provide the best care for our patients. And we have to take a stand. We have to draw a line in the sand. Nobody wants a strike. That's war, and war always has casualties and pain and suffering. But it seems management's very serious about not moving, and they need to know we're also very serious about not degrading the conditions of our work as professionals, as healthcare professionals, licensed, educated healthcare professionals. We need to be treated as such.
If you've just tuned in, this is Labor Radio, KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. We're listening to Richard Botterill and Kim Martin of the Oregon Nurses Association in Providence Hospital.
And Laura, you mentioned how we all have different contract termination dates. One of the things about all of our contracts have a clause in there that is a no strike clause. So while our contract is in effect, we have an agreement that we will not strike. So there are no potentials for strikes unless our contract has expired and we're continuing to try and negotiate. I think what Kim touched on is it's a dilemma, I think, for all nurses. Because, yeah, we're in that business because we care for people. That's what we do. And it's not just the individuals that are coming in, but it's the communities we serve. So it's a real dilemma looking at the potential for going out on strike and walking away from the bedside because of the ramifications, what that turns out, how that turns out to affect our communities that we serve. So I think that's a huge challenge for all of us. But again, as Kim said, if we're not getting anywhere at the table and there is no reasonable agreement to reach that is balanced for everyone, then what do? Do we just roll over and say, oh, okay, we'll put up with another 2, 3, 4 years of this? Or do we say, no, this is not right. We need to do something about this.
And how do you think the strike will affect patient care?
It would definitely, if all of Providence facilities were to strike together, you know, Providence is a large provider in this market, so it would definitely strain the other healthcare systems. So again, we hope to avoid that.
What do you want pro-union Providence patients to do?
We would like them to contact Providence administration and let them know that they value their nurses, they value their nursing care, and they want us, their employees, to be treated fairly. The same person, administrator that I, in another market, another business, we pulled out our insurance cards and looked at our deductibles. Mm-hmm. And that person was absolutely jaw on the table, assuming, as most people do, that nurses, when they work for a system that has their own hospitals, their own doctor's office, their own health insurance company, that we have pretty good health insurance. And found out that we have extremely high copays and out-of-pocket maximums.
And by high, 3 to 4 times the level of this other person. Now, it happened to be, I think it was a spouse of someone that was married to someone within our system, I think. And same thing, same Providence Healthcare, but paying about the same, but the deductibles were way, way, way less than what we're paying.
Astounding. Well, there are a number of pro-union, pro-healthcare activists from DSA and other healthcare unions, Medicare for All, and the progressive community who are all ready to help out. And what can they do? What can we do in this coming period?
Show up to our events when we march on the street and try to get their attention. We love your support. We love the camaraderie. It's a good time, even if it's a sad time.
You know, Jamie, I know you know this, that, you know, we recently were talking with folks at the AFL-CIO convention over the weekend. And when we had our picket last week, there were, in addition to the nurses that showed up, and it wasn't just Providence nurses, there were nurses there from Legacy supporting us, from OHSU who were supporting us, and we had DSA and a whole bunch of other union affiliates. I think there were a total of, it was something like 12 to 14 other union labor-based, labor-supporting groups that were there supporting us at that picket. And I think that's huge to have that kind of support throughout the community. And you were there, so you heard the amount of support that we got from the folks driving by. People were pulling over and talking to us in support of what we were doing. So I think the community is behind us on this. I think they want us to be taken care of. So what can you do? Call Providence, talk about it. Call them and let them know how you feel about this. As Kim said, show up to the events that we have.
Support us on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And the written media, right? We appreciate everyone's support.
I think that's been really rewarding. I mean, it's been rewarding to me to see the amount of support we've had throughout the Portland metro area, because this obviously was more of a Portland-based thing, to see that kind of support. And also the other part that was reassuring to me is to see the number of young folks that were out there, young people, nurses or at AFL-CIO, there was a lot of younger people from other professions, from other businesses, because it's the younger people coming through that are going to be the ones that carry this on into the future. So we do have support for labor and support for the people who are on the front line, no matter what it is you're doing.
Right. It's not just nurses. I think corporate greed has been poorly controlled, and there are a lot of workers that are not being taken care of while lots of corporations are making record profits and lots of people are taking advantage of supply chain issues, squeezing workers more, cutting benefits more, as they're making record profits. So all of us workers need to support each other.
I'm going to throw in one more thing as well. I think one of the other things that I'm really encouraged to see is that now, you know, it started off when all this started way back before COVID, most of us were working just with our administrations within the different hospitals. And we chat to nurses at other places. And then it developed, I think in large part because of what's going on, that we're talking, certainly in the Providence system, we meet every couple of weeks. So that all of the chairs of the union, the vice chairs, the labor reps, we meet and talk every 2 weeks about what's going on, how can we help each other, what's happening at the table. So we're much more informed of what's happening around our system. That's expanded now to where, you know, we are talking with folks at Kaiser, we're talking with folks at OHSU, and we're talking with folks at Legacy. And a lot of that is being facilitated, I think, as you know, by DSA, by Democratic Socialists of America. You know, so that kind of thing, I think, is, I mean, it's reassuring to us. It makes me feel good that people are stepping up and we're working together as union strong, in, you know, to use the cliches, union strong, and it's in solidarity together with each other that we're working towards taking care of each other and taking care of the working force of this country.
Great.
How will improving staffing and compensation at Providence impact healthcare providers in the other big companies like Kaiser, Legacy, and OHSU?
So I think part of that, I think a good indication of that is what happened at Kaiser, where Kaiser were picketing, Kaiser were ready to go out on strike, and the management and administration of Kaiser then turned around and worked with the nurses and worked with the folks at the union there to come to an agreement, to come to an arrangement, yeah? So now we're looking at, even within our own system, we're watching what's happening at St. Vincent's, because it's a clear indication of what happens there is pretty much some of the things that we're gonna be looking at going into when we come to the table later this year. So both within our own system now, because all of those 10 business units are talking with each other, we're getting a better sense and a better sense of solidarity across the entire system, across the region, across the Oregon region. So that's happening. I think talking with the folks at OHSU, at Legacy, and at Kaiser is giving us a much better sense that we're not unique. Providence is not unique in what we're going through right now. All of the nurses are going through this. Everyone is seeing a shortage. Everyone is having the same problems. So I think that's reassuring, and that we're getting together. And I'm certainly hoping that that is something that continues, and that the nurses, initially perhaps of just Portland, from all of the different healthcare systems, get together, talk, and meet on a regular basis, so we can actually start having a unified voice for healthcare and for nurses. And, you know, by de facto, then we have a unified voice for caring for our community, the community that we serve.
I'm going to say that the hospital administrators at all of the major healthcare providers in this market also get together. They also have a strategy, and they would like to suppress worker pay and benefits. So it's in everyone's, it's in the community's best interest. It's actually in all of the employers' best interest to not be hiring expensive travel nurses at three or four times what they're paying their own staff. It's not good for morale. It's better for all of the healthcare providers in this market to have a stable, strong staff with high standards. That's what's best for the community. That's what's best for the employers.
Great. So how can our listeners keep in touch, especially if they want to be involved in solidarity actions? Is there a website, Facebook?
There are a whole bunch of Facebook sites that have to do with, if you just look for Providence, there's ONA Nurses of Providence. There are other Facebook sites out there that are specific to the overall Providence system and what we're going through right now. There's one that is Nurses United to Raise Standards is one of the other sites. So there's a lot of sites out there where support can be provided, where you can read about what's going on. And often you'll see things posted on those sites. Right now, I think there's a nurses, I can't remember which hospital it is. I was reading about it this morning. I think it's in Wisconsin. The same things are happening across the entire country right now. It's not just Oregon. It's not just Portland. It's a lot of the other cities and states across the country who are experiencing the same thing. And again, this comes back down to the, you know, the projected nursing shortage that we knew about some time ago and that was ignored fundamentally. And it's a very deep problem, because it requires there being enough nursing schools, and there's enough seats at nursing schools for people to be educated and trained as nurses. And to do that, you need nurses who are prepared to go and teach at those schools. And by the way, I don't think they're getting paid what they're worth either.
Sounds like a tremendous struggle. And for folks who want to be in touch, go to Facebook, Nurses United, and Nurses United to Raise Standards, and ONA Nurses at Providence.
I believe if you go just to the ONA website, there should be in the news, there probably are links then to where you can get to some of the other groups.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
So Google ONA Nurses, Oregon Nurses Association, and look on their website as well.
Great. And if you're a young person who wants to be involved with a dynamic and exciting labor struggle in your career that also involves caring for and bringing quality of life to our community, go to nursing school.
Yeah, it's a tough and rewarding profession.
And if, you know, if you want to be involved with any of the individual hospitals, is easy to find, again, on the Oregon Nurses Association website, it's easy to find how to contact the chairs of the various unions, the officers on the boards, on the negotiating teams. We're always looking for stewards that are ready to step up. We're looking for what are called CAT teams, communication action teams. So as we get into contract, we want to be able to communicate to our nurses, just as we want to be able to get the nurses to communicate with us, so we know what's important to them. You know, what is important for you the next time we go to the table? So we can accurately represent, you know, at Providence Portland, 1,300 nurses. At St. V's, I think it's 1,400 nurses across the system, not including the clinics. There's over 4,000 ONA Providence nurses amongst our hospitals. So there's a lot of people out there that are trying to work to better the overall care and the overall working conditions for our nurses. You can be a part of that if you want to.
That wraps it up for this evening's show. You've been listening to Richard Botterill and Kim Martin of ONA, the Oregon Nurses Association at Providence Hospital in Portland. Thanks to my co-host, Jamie Partridge. I'm Laura Wadlin. This is Labor Radio, this Monday and every Monday at 6 p.m. Stay tuned for Prison Pipeline.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad,